thanks for listening. Yeah.
Hello, Simon Wright.
No, I just go back to the
Fairlight Station at Garston. As you will have seen from my written statement, Fairlight Station is 2,500 hectares running approximately 17,000 stock units.
Yep.
The property is made up of 2,000 hectares of extensive hill country and 500 hectares of flat. We have the Matara Valley flowing through our farm. Firstly, I'd agree that we need to be more conscientious. About our environmental responsibilities. We at Fairlight, and I believe farmers in general, are continuing to make positive improvements in the way we manage our farms. We are very lucky to be farming in this special environment and striving to improve our environmental footprint within budget constraints. I'll talk on two issues that are particular interest to Fairlight. Stock exclusion. I agree that we need to exclude stock from waterways and intensively grazed areas. If grazing is to be excluded from our extensive farmed areas, weeds in particular become a major problem. And because we're already dealing with a modified environment, we can't expect it to return to its natural state. The Upper Matara Valley and its tributaries are mostly weed-free in a manageable state where eradication is still possible. Weed control, in particular gorse and broom, has been a big focus at Fairlight and its neighbours, including Environment Southland. We have made a big difference to the aesthetic value of the area, including lowering the amount of nitrates being leached into our waterways. It wouldn't have happened without grazing. I think we need a more holistic approach to looking at our wider environment issues. I guess you're aware that one duck excretes 15.7 times more E. coli than one dairy cow. Ducks have access to water waste 100% of the time. Perhaps a portion of the duck shooting license needs to go to our environmental improvements and bag limits on introduced ducks and geese. There should be no bag limit on introduced ducks and geese. I think we need to be careful what we wish for. We are trying to turn back the clock on a modified environment. Especially in our area, gorse and broom excrete a large amount of nitrates and have been allowed to run rampant in the last few decades. Forcing farmers to fence off waterways in extensive areas will only exacerbate that issue. Who's going to control the weeds? And as has been mentioned many times before, chemicals may be a part of a solution or an alternative. There are some good examples where stock exclusion perhaps hasn't worked that well in the past. And the Upakarua River in Tianao would be one example. And I believe that some rules have been changed around that. Perhaps we should be have a closer look at what's been happening at Birchwood Station, which has recently been retired from grazing, and track and trace what the benefits or the downside is to that program. Even in Garston, we've had a fisherman complain about a cow in a stream that's resulted in a farmer fencing off a waterway. This area is now full of weed and unfishable. We can't design and manage these proposed new environmental ideals from behind a desk. It needs to be a collaborative approach. Farmers generally want to improve and protect their assets. Councils and farmers need to work together so we can enjoy our waterways. I have a map there that highlights the complexity of fencing extensive hill country. You go back to the original one, I guess. And that's a portion of our hill country, not all of it. There's 50 hectares of waterways in critical source areas identified. In my mind, they're not practical to fence and never will be. We are developing some hill country water schemes that will reduce the pressure on our natural water resources. They are expensive and complex, but part of an ongoing progress in maintaining our environment. The 50 hectare crop rule. In my mind, this rule was poorly conceived. It clearly won't work on many larger farms. A percentage of land area would seem more logical. Currently, we are cropping about 4% of our effective area. I fail to understand what environmental benefit would be achieved by needing a consent. The district plan gives us a right to farm. If we're not careful, blanket rules and their compliance will turn our councils into bureaucratic beasts where rates will skyrocket. Give farmers credit for progress that has been made. I think we're heading in the right direction. Put sound guidelines in place. Farm environment plans, management plans are a good place to start. I feel like we initiated a farm environment plan and have been through that process, having also been through the balanced farm environment board. We want to know what our environmental footprint is or was. We're fortunate we farm and our farm mainly meets the guidelines in the template, with some and small improvements to make. We are concerned about the potential implications of some of the rules and the proposed plans. Some guidelines, good dialogue between landowners and council will keep us in the right direction. Let's monitor, test and identify the issues before we apply unpractical rules. So I guess that's a picture. There's a couple of examples of, of stuff we've fenced off, and the main river's fenced off. There's no livestock and running water on the feedlot flats. That's the slope. An example of the slope. The issues around slope. And its fencing requirements, I guess. So it's very complex and not practical on extensive hill country. That's me.
Okay. Just on that stock, before I hand over to the rest of the panel, you may have heard me say earlier that the government is promoting stock exclusion regulations, which this council is probably going to be tagged with implementing. The regional plan that we're considering can't be more lenient than those regulations.
Yes.
So that's really a bit of a wait and see space. But I guess my comment was, have you looked at those draft regulations as an association? Because they do differentiate between stock type. They impose far less onerous requirements on deer farming than they do on dairy cattle, for example.
Yep.
When we have no idea if that's going to...
I guess down the track, some of this, if we extrapolate this out and start heading into the hill country, then, on the bigger picture, we just need to be aware that, how's it going to be farmed in the future if it's total exclusion?
Well, see, the draft regulations don't propose that, which is why I'm asking the question. As an association, have you looked at the draft regulations?
So the association as a whole, as opposed to the individual branches, has looked at the draft, and the time frames are quite acceptable in terms of...
They are or aren't?
They are. The 2025 and the 2030 deadlines are more acceptable.
So the association can live with those time frames. And what about the actual requirements? I notice the draft regulations they don't address, in terms of deer farming, the steeper land over 15 degrees, there's no requirement for a fence unless there's brake feeding occurring. So is that an acceptable approach?
So that's acceptable.
So would a general theme be then, if the final regulations end up being similar to the draft regulations, that's a workable solution from your perspective?
Yeah, I think so. I think the devil is in the detail, particularly around the areas where there's a stock exclusion. We can offer up a stock exclusion plan where you think it's impractical, and so it's on that sort of rolling country, which we think is a mixture between intensive and extensive farming activities. And it comes back to this issue that the different topography classes are a proxy for intensity of farming.
Sure. It's interesting to get your feedback on those dry flags. It's helpful. Now I'll just see if we have any further questions for you.
No, thanks, Mr. Chair.
Perhaps just on your original submission, you mentioned that you have stock crossing rivers and streams on average. Wouldn't be more than once a week.
No.
That's all stock. That's all classes.
That's stock. All classes.
Yeah. But obviously there'd be times if you take an average over the year when you do it.
Yeah, and we would probably fit into the example that Lindsay gave, that on the flat there's no, we've got one creek, I guess, that in an extensive lane situation that deer would need to go across, but we've got bridges for sheep and cattle. And the river we cross, we have to cross the river at weaning and you know, periodically, but not regularly, for sure.
But obviously within a week sometimes you'd need to do it more than once.
Within a week we would have to do it more than once, correct. Yep, in and out, but not continuously.
Yep.
Thank you.
Good, thanks.
Good.
I'm fine, thank you.
And I have no further questions either, thank you very much. We can have now the last